All right, this is a traffic and safety meeting held on January 19th, 2022. I will now take roll. Chairman Reeves?
Here. And Jeff, you're pretty faint.
All right, we will talk louder.
That's better there, wherever you were. If you move, you might have been closer to a mic, but that sounded better.
Yeah, much better.
Commissioner Chase?
Present.
Commissioner Gillis? Here. Commissioner Hoyt?
Here.
Commissioner DeRaman? Commissioner Carroll?
Here.
Commissioner Oska? Here. Okay, Chairman Reese, take it away.
All right, thanks everybody. Welcome to our meeting of the Traffic and Safety Commission. Can we start by, I'll invite a motion to adopt, approve the minutes from November 17, 2021. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second. Moved.
Second.
Any discussion of those minutes?
No.
All right, Jeff, do we need a vote or can we just unanimously approve those?
Peter, go ahead and take a vote real quick.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yeah.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes, approved.
Commissioner Carroll?
Approved.
Commissioner Oska? Recording in progress. Approved.
Okay, so the minutes are approved. We have three items on the agenda tonight. Seems like we can take them in order. Generally, for those of you who haven't participated, we'll take comments from the public if people would like to comment on the request, and we'll turn it over for any questions or comments by members of the commission. This commission makes non-binding recommendations to the village. Sometimes some changes may require an ordinance change, which has to be done by the Board of Trustees. And sometimes there's some informal things that can be done, and then we can make recommendations, and with Jeff's help, and we may informally be able to work with Public Works and the village to be able to accomplish some things that might not need formal approval. But why don't we start with, there's a request by Commissioner Caro, who lives near this intersection, and has made a request to install a four-way stop sign at the intersection of Vine and Ashland. Currently, it's a two-way stop, stopping the traffic, my understanding, on Vine, allowing the traffic on Ashland to continue through that intersection. But so I'll turn it over whether you want to speak to this, Commissioner Carroll, or whether you want someone else in your neighborhood to speak to it.
I'm happy to kick it off. Thanks, Doug. So as Doug mentioned, I live on the corner of Ashland and Vine, so I'm not a impartial observer of the traffic issues there. But I'll just give a brief history. When my wife and I moved here about 6 years ago, there was no stop sign on that corner at all. And there were several accidents within the first year that we lived there. At some point thereafter, the village put stop signs on Vine. So now it's a two-way stop. And while the effect of that has certainly been to reduce the number of accidents that have occurred at that corner, it has also caused for traffic to speed down Ashland with even greater impunity than they were before. Primarily, I think it's traffic. It's really traffic in both directions. I think the report seemed to show that it was mostly traffic from south to north that was moving the fastest. Though I do think that has something to do with the fact that the direction of the the monitor was facing north, which I think served to slow traffic down a little bit. But in general, you know, there are a lot of kids in the neighborhood. It doesn't take very many very fast moving cars to really alarm folks that live around here. And the reason that we put this forth was because we felt that some sort of traffic control device or signage or something should be used on that corner. And our vision was really a four-way stop. But of course, I'm aware that there are various studies that suggest that, you know, in certain cases, four-way stops can actually exacerbate problems and whatnot. But I think I speak for certainly the people that signed our petition and potentially even more people in the neighborhood, that something needs to be done to slow traffic down on Ashland. Because even if you only have a very small portion of cars exceeding 40 miles an hour, that's an incredibly high rate of speed on an otherwise small street. And it doesn't take very many of those to, you know, potentially cause a very serious problem. So I guess that's what I would say. And I would invite anybody else to weigh in that would like to.
Why don't we find out if there are other people from the neighborhood who'd like to speak to this, if there's anything to add, and then we'll turn it over to members of the commission to ask any questions or make any comments.
I would not mind speaking.
We do have a couple stepping up here in the room.
It looks like I saw Dan McGee. Would you like to comment?
I can comment unless you want to do the ones in the room first. Whatever.
Go ahead.
Okay. I live at the corner of Washington and Ashland. So interestingly enough, two of the three issues coming up tonight are very much related to where I live. I would concur. There's a high rate of speed down Ashland, and reading through the study that was done, I cannot remember the name of the company. It was intriguing to say there was not a lot of cut through traffic, because I perceive it as very much a cut through traffic problem at the intersection I'm at. I'm not sure what the data is at Washington and Ashland, but we've had several accidents there over the last 3 years since I've lived there. And I observe northbound cars coming up through the intersection at hand here quite fast, getting to Washington and Ashland. There's a two-way stop there. Accidents happen as a result, and then speeding their way across Washington and north. And cars are definitely cutting through. So from a perspective of slowing people down and stop using, you know, very residential streets as a cut through, I'm in support of measures that would do that. I know, you know, there's talk in a wider village sense of not having Ashland be a through street to Madison, and that sounds amazing to me one day if that ever happens. That's it for me.
Thanks, Dan. Are there others from that neighborhood who would like to address this issue?
We have a couple people present here in the room.
Okay, is there anyone present who would like to speak to this?
Introduce yourself. Yeah. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Raj Chiplunkar. And I live at 126 Ashland Avenue. That's bang in the middle of that block. I have two young kids, 11 and 6. A fair number of kids on that block. I understand we've lived there for 16 years now, but it's been only the past 11 years since we've had kids. I understand a traffic study was done. I saw the big signage there. And to the extent, I didn't look at the traffic study, to the extent a decision is going to be made about the traffic study, I'm sure people are aware there's something called the Hawthorne effect, where people change their behavior when they know they're being watched. I know for a fact I do it when I'm heading to the club and I'm on Thatcher. I see that big light there by which tells you what your speed is, and I automatically hit the brakes. Even if I'm going 25, I slow down to 20. So I think if the study is what's going to inform your decision, I think you should take it with a grain of salt, because people change their behavior when they know that there's a chance that they're being watched or they're being recorded or there's a radar there. So that's all I have to say. There are a lot of anecdotes that I can give you. I've seen people speed down that street. I've yelled out at them, and they've shown me the finger several times. But you know, that's all anecdotal. So there are stop signs on all the other streets, as far as I know. Franklin's a stop sign, and you know, all of his other streets have stop signs too. So it seems this is the only street that doesn't have a stop sign in that direction. And people who use streets to avoid stop signs, this is the one street left where they can go through without having to hit a stop sign. And once they get to Lathrop, they can't make a left onto Madison. So then Ashland becomes the preferred. That's what I've noticed. It becomes the preferred way for people to get to Madison Street, and to even get off of Madison Street. So that's all I have to add. Thank you very much.
We have one more person coming up, Doug.
And then you've got one person on the Zoom with their hand up too.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Angie Grover, and I live at 7617 Vine Street. It's about halfway through the block from Ashland. And I would echo everything that's been said so far. I'm in support of the four-way stop sign. And a couple of things I'd like you to consider are the recent change on Lathrop for no left-hand turns during high peak hours. We need that because that area is really congested. But my alley runs east-west, so people are now zipping down the alley to Ashland to use Ashland to cut back and forth between wherever they're trying to go, you know, on Madison, so they can take a left. So the stop sign on, when they put the two-way stop on Vine, I was a little bit concerned because Vine doesn't have the volume of traffic that Ashland does, so I wasn't quite sure why they were stopping Vine, because going 40 miles an hour between Madison and Washington for two blocks is a pretty significant speed. And I have two young boys. One, I have to say, loves to skateboard and jump out into the intersections. So I worry every day. And he has, you know, there's all kinds of kids in the neighborhood. And they, it's why we live here. Because I want my kids to be able to run around the neighborhood. And, you know, you do your best. But there's been quite a turnover, and younger families are moving in, which I think is good for River Forest. We've been there for 8 years, and we'd like to make that our forever home, but I do worry about that intersection. So the study was conducted a little bit before they made the changes on Lathrop, and we saw an increase in traffic on Ashland. And again, between Madison and Lake, every intersection is four-way stop. And, you know, Lathrop is pretty much the thoroughfare. I would echo whoever said if they could just not have anybody going on to Madison from Ashland, that would be ideal, but I don't know if that's ever possible. So I would just support you looking out for the families that live in the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Doug, you're muted.
Sorry. Mary Hope Griffin, I see on the Zoom you have your hand up. Would you like to address this issue?
Yes, please. We have lived one house in from this intersection for 15 years now. It's been great to see a turnover of young kids in the neighborhood, but that's a kind of continuous thing down at this end of Ashland Avenue. You know, it's a place where people come and move in with young kids, as we did when our kids were little. The stop sign on Vine has helped a lot. The number of accidents we have witnessed, including one when my son was in front of the house and a car jumped up on the curb, has been horrifying. This study itself pointed out that on average, 9 cars a day are exceeding 35 miles an hour on our street. Now, it did say that's 1% of the traffic on the street, but that's still 9 cars going really fast on our street. I'm also a little bit skeptical of the data, simply because it was pretty clear that there are parts of the study that were cut and pasted. There are references to Keystone Avenue in the middle of a report about Ashland Avenue, which just may have been just sloppy editing, but that usually indicates to me as a college professor that somebody's not doing their homework very well.
On that point, I did note that they made a comparison that, you know, well, whether they cut or paste or not, I don't know, but I did note that they made a comparison of an earlier study that they had done of the first block of Keystone and noted that the volumes and speeds were consistent. And I think we can look and see exactly what they said, but my recollection is that they noted that it was consistent with what they had found when they had studied that block of Keystone. I thought it was in 2017, which I think is pertinent in some ways because it was a study that I think was done before the pandemic, when and there's a view that the traffic may also be a little bit lower than normal because of the pandemic.
Who's that?
Are we ready to go to, I see a name, Singh?
Hi, good evening. My name is Candace Singh. I live on the corner of Ashland and Vine. And, full disclosure, my husband is Dave Kiro. I did write a public comment and emailed it to the village, but I also wanted to come on Zoom and also point out a few things that I commented on. One of the things that I want to emphasize is that when me and my kids walked around the neighbor to get signatures for this petition, we did a survey also from every household that we got a signature from, how many kids were living in the house that we were getting a signature from. And we did not get signatures from all the houses, but of the, I think, over 50 houses we did get signatures from, we came up with a count of 60 children, ranging all the way from toddlers to middle schoolers. Those were the majority of the children, and there were a handful of high schoolers. So there are many, many children that live within a one block radius of this intersection. Many kids in our neighborhood also walk to school, both to Roosevelt and Lincoln. Many of the high schoolers ride their bikes around the neighborhood. The next thing I'd like to point out is the speed radar sign was placed in front of our house right on the corner facing north. So all of the vehicles that were traveling coming from the north heading south were being notified with a big flashing sign what their speed limit was and that they were speeding. If they were speeding, it was flashing. And I wondered if the village and KOL, the consulting firm, took that into consideration when they determined the average speed of these vehicles. The other thing I wanted to note is that I was able to get a copy of the raw data from the speed radar, the raw data it collected. And one of the things that KOL noted that was that only, they say only, but in my mind, that's significant. 63 vehicles that whole week were speeding 35 miles or higher. Of those 63 vehicles, I want to note, because I think it's very important, that 55 of those vehicles who were going over 35 miles per hour were heading north. They were coming from the south, heading north. So therefore, they did not have that flashing sign telling them that they were speeding. I do think that has an impact on the data. I feel that the data is, you know, it's somewhat tainted, because if you have a flashing sign telling you that you're speeding, of course, the majority of the vehicles who are heading south will not be speeding because there's a big sign telling you, hey, slow down, you're going too fast. So I wondered if you all took that into, or not you, maybe KLOA knew that this sort of sign was being used to collect data, and if they factor that into their decision making. The other thing I'd like to also note is that as my other neighbors have noted on the phone, on Zoom now, I think it was Angie, that the signage on Lathrop has changed. Before, there was no turning restrictions for a vehicle turning left onto Madison from Lathrop. Now there are restrictions. You cannot turn left during rush hour, morning and afternoon times. So now individual vehicles that are needing to get onto Madison are now cutting through Vine and Ashland and the alleys and coming through this intersection. So we have a higher traffic than before. And unfortunately, this change in road signage occurred after our study was done. And then lastly, I'm just trying to go back to my email to see. There was one more thing I just wanted to point out. Okay. KLOA never reached out to anybody who lived in the neighborhood to get their perspective or insights or what they've witnessed with the intersection and why we put this request in, which I think it is an error on their part. I mean, there's only so much you can get from data. I think the full picture, in order to give a full report and analysis, you can't just look at numbers. And then I do have one question. In the report, they mentioned that the May 2019 comprehension plan for this intersection was not identified as an intersection to be evaluated for traffic control upgrade. My question is, how was that determined and why? I don't know if you can answer those questions without having to go back to that comprehensive plan report, but maybe somebody could give me insight as to why our intersection specifically was not considered. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any more comments from the public on this topic? All right, how about members of the commission? Would anyone like to start with any questions or comments?
I have two questions. This is Commissioner Hoyt. My first question is, I've probably seen maybe 8 or 10 of these KLOA studies, and this is the only one I recall where the median miles per hour of 23 was less than the speed limit of 25. I'm just wondering if we have ever seen that before, some of you that have been on the commission for much longer than I have. That just tells me that—
I don't know if we've seen it or not, but my observation would be, it's because it's a thin street, and if there's cars on there, people probably slow down quite a bit. You know, if you have oncoming traffic.
Well, and the reason I was asking, and just to the point that Ms. Singh brought up, was, you know, I was surprised to see it with 23. That just really surprised me. I've gone down that street many times. And if there really is some kind of flasher indication, you are going to go slower when there's a study. So I don't know anywhere in the report that they actually go slower than the actual speed limit. So that was just surprising to me. I just didn't know if we had seen that before. And my second question is just on the new signage that you're referring to, that many of you have referred to, on Lathrop and Madison. From what I thought, that was there a long time ago, that you can't turn left during rush hour, but maybe I'm just not remembering right. Do you recall when that signage was added?
That's been there a while.
I can speak to that a little bit. That restriction has been in place for quite some time. There was signage present, I believe, the village did the Madison Street improvements, all the brick walks and new light standards all on Madison. That was several years ago now, probably around 2015. And I think inadvertently during that project, that left turn restriction sign came down during the project and didn't go back up right away. And so we caught it after the fact, a good ways after that project was completed. And so then the police department started kind of deploying the signage out there as they found necessary to kind of re-implement that restriction. But that has been on the books, if you will, in the ordinance for many, many years now.
Jeff, this is Doug. Can you clarify what that restriction is? It wasn't from the comment. I couldn't tell exactly what traffic was being restricted.
I could hear him.
Oh, my question is, can you just clarify what the restriction is?
Doug, I think you might be muted on your computer or something. You're not muted in Zoom, but we're not getting you.
We can hear
you. We can hear you, Doug.
We can hear you on Zoom. Yeah.
Someone else asked the question or explain. Everyone the question is what traffic's restricted by that
sign? Everybody on Zoom they're having an audio problem.
No, I can hear Doug fine.
Yeah, I think the people on Zoom are okay. I think the people in the community center, in the building are having trouble hearing all of us.
Testing.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me through the Zoom?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
The people on Zoom come through clearly. I think there's a communication gap with the room.
Can you hear us?
Yes. I can hear you.
You know what? Let's try this. Hold on a minute. Okay. They're going to try something different.
This shows why hybrid meetings don't work.
Very true.
More challenging.
You have been added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or listen until the host admits you to the meeting.
All right, try that again, Doug.
Hi, Jeff. Can you hear us now?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're good. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Jeff, I was just asking if you don't mind clarifying with respect to that sign that Kim was asking about at Lathrop and Madison. Can you just clarify what the restriction is?
It's a, I can't recall exactly off the top of my head. Are
you still muted? It's a no left turn from Lathrop
like during rush hour
onto Madison during rush hour.
Like a 4 day.
Okay, so if you're southbound on Lathrop, you cannot turn left onto Madison during rush hour.
Correct.
And just to clarify what you said, Jeff, that had been in existence for a long time, but there was a time period of a couple of years where it was unposted.
Correct.
Okay, let's continue with any commissioner comments. Kim, did you have any other comments or questions at this point?
You're not foreclosed. No, it's okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Any other commissioner?
Rick Gillis, if I may. You know, usually KLA gets this right, and they do a pretty good job. But I think what they missed this time is, you know, when they do these reports, they follow a real defined process and a decision process for everything. But I think the neighbors living down there see what's going on. And I'm inclined, I'm a little more pragmatic. You've got, 54 people who said they want the stop sign there. Only one person said no. And I'm inclined just, you know, let's put the stop sign there. That's what the neighbors need and what they want. So that's my only comment.
This is John Osgall. I'll chime in real quick, Doug. We've seen this over the last few years with traffic heading north off of Madison. It seems to permeate pretty much every street. We've dealt with Keystone, we've dealt with Thatcher, and now we have a request from Ashland. Coming off of Madison, it does seem that the traffic would be more steady, faster heading north. Lathrop is one street over. When we did the comprehensive, we put the stop signs in east-west, and to answer, I think it was Ms. Singh's question. It may not have been mentioned, but those stop signs were put in on Vine, I think during the comprehensive, the east-west stop signs. But needless to say, or nonetheless, I should say, I'm in agreement with Rick, with the signatures, the overwhelming support. There's one nay, many, many yays on the stop sign. And just in tune with the board having their eyes on the southern portion of River Forest anyway, I'm more inclined to just take this to a vote, vote it in, and have them go in front of the board and get their stop sign at this point.
Just to clarify, I don't think it was a nay. I think it was a no opinion.
Right. It was correct.
Yeah, he marked nay and then crossed it off and marked no opinion in order to be deferential to his neighbors, I believe.
Overwhelming support.
Are there other commissioners who want to comment? I'll comment generally in that, you know, in my years on the commission, I've never supported stop signs as a speed control device. And so even accepting the arguments that speed may be understated in this report, I don't think stop signs are the appropriate way to control speed. Having said that, I also think we've been struggling with other ways to control speed, and we don't have great ways to control it. I think, you know, stop signs are best to control right of way, and, you know, particularly where confusion could ensue. And, you know, the volumes on this street, I don't think are really disputed. And the volumes are not significant on a comparative basis. And I respect the neighbor's request, but I also am somewhat concerned, you know, not that slippery slope is necessarily the persuasive argument, but we try to apply standards when we employ stop signs to avoid having four-way stops at every intersection in the village. While people may want it who live there, it's not necessarily good for the flow of traffic. I think the stop signs on Vine were to acknowledge that Ashland is the busier street and that traffic should flow more unimpeded. And also by putting the stop signs on Vine, it I think is consistent with the Safe Routes to School program that the village did recently, which is to stop that traffic to allow kids who are heading north to school, you know, at least the east-west traffic would stop. So those are some observations that I have, you know, based on the study and based on the comments that we've heard tonight. Yeah, I guess the last comment I'd make is whether there's any consideration of any intermediate step and whether there's other signage. If the primary issue is speed, which it seems to be, are there other ways to address speed short of a stop sign? You know, that may not be the ideal way to address it. You know, if not, that's fine. But I just was wondering if there are other intermediate steps that might be considered. I don't want to prolong the discussion if the consensus is to do something else, but I just throw that out.
You know, Doug, I'm typically in agreement with you on this. I don't want to see a stop sign on every corner as well. And I've been saying that for 16 years on this commission. But also, to the point of consistency, we have put stop signs due to northbound traffic on several streets coming off of Madison in the recent years that we've been looking at this issue. And that's why I'm leaning towards a stop sign, a four-way stop sign on this corner, much to my chagrin, but I'm leaning in that direction. Just thinking about Lathrop and Madison and Washington, kind of all within one block of that corner. So I'm inclined to agree with the homeowners over there. And like I said, kick it upstairs and see what they have to say, but also make the recommendation that we do a four-way stop sign at that corner.
All right. I mean, I'll call for a motion in a minute.
Well, I have one more question, Doug. Sorry.
Go ahead, Maggie. I have a question too.
At Keystone and Vine, the two-way stop sign is in the other direction, correct? With Vine taking priority, just off the top of my head?
Yes, Keystone and Vine. Over my objection, we installed a stop sign stopping Keystone traffic.
Right. So that surprises me. But is that another consideration to do the same?
It was a similar discussion as here. It was almost the same. It was a vocal group of local homeowners who wanted to slow speed on Keystone. And you know, that was accommodated by whether it's slow speed or not, I'm not sure, but the result was to put that stop sign in.
So my question just is there a benefit? It's more of a question, not that I know the answer, to having a two-way stop sign at Ashland and Vine, but in the other direction.
I mean, I guess, well.
The one thing I would caution you about switching that is and I think Doug had pointed it out earlier, this two-way stop is what there was a two-way yield before, I believe, but it was converted to a two-way stop during the Safe Routes to School project. So by switching that two-way stop to Ashland instead of Vine, you would then have students walking through an uncontrolled leg of the intersection, if you will.
Right, or they would have to go to Franklin, which theoretically works, but I'm sure the study consider that in making that recommendation.
One other question I had at Lathrop and Madison, where there's that no left turn, is that otherwise just a stop sign? The control light as it displays a block later, so that intersection just has a stop sign, right?
Correct.
And is there any stomach to get rid of that no left turn? All right, let me see if anyone wants to make a motion. I'm not going to prolong the agony.
I'll make that motion to install a four-way stop sign at that corner of Vine and Ashland.
Is there a second?
I second.
Any further discussion before we vote? All right, why don't we vote?
Chairman Reeves?
No.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yes.
Commissioner Osgo?
Yes.
All right, so that motion carries. So that will go to the village board because there will be, my understanding is that that'll necessitate, I think, an ordinance change. Is that right, Jeff?
That will be an ordinance change. And just as a point of clarification here, Arun, are you on the call still? Okay, Arun had indicated he was here, so I just want to make sure he got a vote in if he was present. But yes, to answer your question, this is an ordinance change, so this is something that would go to the board. We have a board meeting on Monday night, and our current plan is to kind of squeeze this into that agenda. So ideally, this goes Monday night.
Okay, so if any of you from the neighborhood want to, you know, this record will be made to the village board. They, you know, they generally, but don't always go along with our recommendation. But you're obviously free to attend the village board meeting or otherwise express your view. So it's registered with the village board. All right, thank you all, and thank you for your comments and for your thorough review of the report. And I think you've given us some things to raise with KLOA with respect to their studies.
Thank you.
Why don't we move ahead to the question of Washington Boulevard. The request by Ryan Blecker, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, at 147 Keystone. Is Ryan here or someone here to speak to that issue?
Yeah, he's here. He's coming up to the podium.
Okay.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
First off, thank yes. you very much for entertaining or listening to this. And also, I can't see your name, who was announced or introduced to me, but you actually got my last name right, which is very odd. So you must be German. I don't know.
I don't know that I could do it twice.
Not many people do, so you're ahead of most. So I think what we were asking for as the community and the street of Washington and Keystone is we had the data come out and had everybody come out and then look at the data and really trying to suppress a little bit of the traffic that's going on Washington. And really, you know, the idea for us is just the fact of safety. You know, we feel like it just is getting more and more congested, or not even congested, but it is as far as like more cars are coming through. Cars are not really abiding by the stop signs. They're either using the parking lane as a passing lane, which is incredibly dangerous. There is definitely some speeding, but again, looking at what the results that came back, it seems like it came back to a point where it deemed it kind of within the range, I guess, for the speed. But I think, you know, it just seems to be, also looking at the report, it seems to be something that just keeps getting, I think, worse and worse. You know, we've lived there for about 4 years, and it seems like it's just getting more and more congested. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, and I think it's even from tonight, I don't know if it's coincidence, but it seems like the majority of what we're talking about are neighborhoods or part of the neighborhood that's south of Washington Boulevard. And it's a tricky little area right there. Obviously, there's neighboring, the neighboring areas do pass through, and we have to, and Washington Boulevard is a bit of a thoroughfare, but I feel like a lot of it is getting worse based on what has happened on Madison Avenue and the fact that they've made that a lot thinner. And I think that there's a lot of, everyone is using GPS AI, and I think that it is causing more and more cars to come through this area and through Washington,
and really just kind of bypass the entire congestion that's happening on Madison. And I think it's just going to keep getting worse. I think it's gotten a lot worse, again, in the last, since we first moved in there to what it is now. You know, Keystone is, again, like I think we're hearing other neighbors say, it's a street that is has turned over in the last probably 8-10 years. And there are maybe up to upwards of like 30 kids between the ages of, you know, 5 and 15 years old on that street. And so it's again, for safety for these kids, trying to really get some sort of grip on Washington, because it in my impression, it feels like people drive on it like they think it feels like it's a 35 mile an hour plus street, because it's so wide, because it doesn't have any hindrance at all. You know, and I think what we're looking for are things like on Chicago Avenue, I mean, even on Lake Street, a lot of the east-west streets, the major boulevards, have certain instances of bump outs that are at least giving the impression that this street is a neighborhood street and it's not just a straight-up thoroughfare to just blast through. And I think things like that, and giving a bit of a the feel and intent to that the street actually is a one-way, each-way street versus really it acts like it's a two-way street, or it looks, or it acts like it's a one-way each way, and you can use another lane to pass. We don't have commerce on the street. We have two major parks on the street, or we have the Washington Commons Park, and then just up past the tracks is the Triangle Park. Very rarely are there like tons of cars in the parking lanes anyway, to actually cause the street to feel like, again, it's a one way each way. It just always acts like it's a four lane road. And so what we're looking for, and again, going around getting petitions and getting people to sign, you know, not one person I had talked to, I will say the greatest thing about this was I was able to go and meet other neighbors that I had never met before, which was wonderful. But not one person was against it. Not one person. And what we are asking for is, because it is a four-way stop sign already. But what we are really, you know, yearning for is something that is going to create stoppage of traffic. Meaning, if we have bump outs, no longer can the parking lanes be passing lanes. You know, I know that the village does not actually go to the extent of using turnabouts. And I don't know if that's even something that would even be entertained at this point. But, you know, and I think, again, someone on the council had mentioned, you know, stop signs and things like that. It's kind of, you know, it's a mixed bag if that's actually going to be, if it's going to be the proper way to stop people from either speeding or moving. You have to put something in the way. And that's why we kind of really want to get these bump outs there for all the really a good portion of students and kids to have to go to school. We're always crossing Washington Boulevard, and it's a bit of a cutoff between, if you want to call it River Forest, like north and south or whatever. You really do feel like it's this major street that kind of cuts everyone off. And I think if we create it a little bit more as a, try to have a little bit more of a neighborhood feel or street to it. Again, it's not going to be the whole thing, but it just feels like there needs to be a little bit more safety, a little less street, a little bit more sidewalk, if you will, at these corner, at our corner. If it could be more corners, that'd be great. To just give the impression that this is a one way each way. You know, and I'm looking at the data. I see one of the data points was that there were six, you know, I think in the last 6 to 7 years, there was 35 accidents at that corner. I don't know in comparisons to any other corners what that means, but that to me, that sounds like a lot of accidents happening at one spot. So again, I would love to, you know, if anyone has any further, you know, comps based on other intersections, like intersections, what that number would equal to. And then, you know, I want to stay focused on this corner. You know, this is the corner that, you know, that I live on. You know, again, we have a son that runs around, and we always want to feel as safe as possible that a car is not going to, you know, just kind of run right through. But there is something to be said about even knowing or thinking about it when you get to Thatcher and Washington and the eastbound traffic coming in, because it really is, when you go over that bridge, it is a four-way street. And there's very little to let people know that, okay, all of a sudden we're funneling this into a two-way street and there's more neighbors and there's kids and there's families here versus this long stretch of just a bridge and woods. And I think for me, I feel like, and I think again, even in the data points, I know it seemed like possibly nominal based on what I was reading in it, but it was portrayed as possibly nominal, that it seemed to be equal westward and, you know, eastbound and westbound traffic. But I feel like going eastbound, it was about 15% greater as far as the volume. And I do think that there are cutting through type vehicles at that point. I think there is more cutting through, jumping, you know, just kind of trying to dash through River Forest from going from west to east. And, you know, again, we'd love to get some bump outs, you know, that are just going to help make that hopefully a safer intersection. I don't know what to, I think that's about it.
Ryan, thank you. There may be questions for you, but why don't we see if there's anyone else who wants to, from the public, who wants to speak to this, and then stand by in case people have questions, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Please, I would love to make it more of a conversation than a someone talks and someone else. But thank
you.
Is there
anyone else in the room, Jeff, who wants to speak to this issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's someone coming up right now.
Hey, how are you? Wow, that's loud. My name's Andy Whiting. I live on the corner right across the street from Ryan. I was really glad to see this was on the discussion for tonight. I didn't really, you know, I know a lot of this stuff is anecdotal, so I know I appreciate, you know, kind of taking the guidance from, you know, some of the actual people in the crowd, more so than the study. I looked at the study, didn't really feel like it communicated what I see as reality. So just to give you a little bit of sense of, you know, we moved to the neighborhood about 3 years ago. We live on the southwest corner of Keystone and Washington. So literally directly on the corner. The main concern that we have, or I see, is the east-west traffic. So the Washington Avenue traffic. And as Ryan mentioned, when you're coming eastbound from, you know, kind of like First Avenue, heading down, you cross Thatcher. Thatcher's a stop sign. And then you have a good kind of like two full blocks to gain speed again. And the way that the stop sign is laid out, so many people just flat out blow through it. Like, it's not even like just like slowing down. It's literally just like missing the stop sign. And so I did a video. This is literally, I found out about this meeting yesterday. So I just like was like, I'm going to take a video. I set my iPad up tonight in my window just this afternoon with my son. I did an hour of video just here at this corner. And I'm not kidding. I don't think a single car except for a police officer made a complete stop. And I'm not even worried about this type of activity because, like, we all run stop signs. I run stop signs. I come up. I see it's clear. What concerns me most, and I'm going to set up a camera now, and I'm going to find this. It's at least once or twice a day, literally not even stopping. Like, just – I don't know if it's just, like, you know, not even paying attention, not from around here, what it is. I'm talking just flat out 35 – maybe not even speeding, right? Maybe not even going more than 40, but I'm talking just missing a stop sign. And that is how people get killed, right? And so, like, that is the biggest concern that I have. The other concern I have, like Ryan was mentioning, was about the bump outs. There is the other activity that's very frustrating for me to watch is when somebody comes up to the stop sign and then somebody else is either impatient as they turn left and they just try to go around them on the right. And really, or they just think it's a four, like two lane each direction. And it's not, it's a two way street. And as Ryan mentioned, the amount of cars parked along Washington is almost nil. So no one really recognizes that it's a two lane road at that point. So I'm in favor of anything. Like I've, you know, contemplated, I've fantasized about going out in the middle of the night and just like tearing up a circle in the middle of it and putting a cone out there myself, because it is literally like, it's not the, I don't care about people slowing down and running stop signs and just, you know, kind of rolling through them like we all do. My concern is, like, here it is. I just watched this video. Like, there's people literally just, like, going through this thing, no stopping. Like, here, look. Just, like, there's – just keeps coming. Anyway, so my point is, as you can imagine, I've got three kids. You know, you always hear from the kids, people that have parents. I see kids every day at this stop sign. This is where they're walking to school. They're walking northbound. And it really is, someone's getting killed. And it has picked up more and more. You know, I guess I've lived here for 3 years. Majority of my time has been during the pandemic. So I'm sure traffic is more finally back to normal. I wasn't here when they put in the Vine stop sign coming northbound. But that has been a great thing in Keystone. So anyway, I'm in favor of bump outs. If we could do at least a blinking light on top of the stop sign so that people can see it. If you're willing to so much as consider a roundabout, that would be the greatest thing ever. Or, you know, something to indicate that there is a some slowdown that needs to happen. So, yeah, happy to talk and share more. But that's definitely one other item. When you're coming eastbound, between, I guess it would be like Gale and Keystone, if there's any cars parked on the south side of that street of Washington, but on the south side, it almost with the size of SUVs and trucks these days, like it almost blocks a stop sign view when you're heading eastbound. So anytime that I ever see a car that's parked on the south side of that on Washington, I know the number of people running the stop sign is going to greatly increase because they kind of see it too late. So just something to also bring up. So anyway, that's all.
Thanks. Can we get your name again?
Yes, sir. My name is Andrew Whiting. 146 Keystone.
Andrew, how often is there, I live near there, but how often are people parked on the south side of Washington before the stop sign?
Not very often. It's not really like Ryan was saying, like it would be almost better if more people did it more often. You know, there is a no parking when you get close to it. So like there's a, like, I believe somebody has thought through this concept that you shouldn't park too close to the sign, but just the way it kind of like falls and there's a big tree right on the corner. And I just think that like it doesn't happen correctly.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room from the public that wants to speak to this? How about on Zoom? Anyone else that's on Zoom would like to speak to this intersection? Dan McKee?
Sure. So I'm speaking again. Dan, I'm at 7703 Washington, the corner of Washington and Ashland. So I know the study, I read through the study, and it was done specific to the intersection that Ryan mentioned at Keystone and Washington, which I was a little disappointed, to be honest, because the original letter to the village mentioned traffic along all of Washington in general, especially, you know, looking at the bump outs as they are in Chicago. And I wanted to just bring up a few things that, I don't think the study covered if you were to just look at that to make a decision. So as I said, it only really looked at a single intersection. I'd be interested to know what the crash data is at the other intersections at Washington. I know here at Washington and Ashland, as I mentioned earlier, there have been several accidents that I've seen, especially being home, looking right out this window. And I think there, you know, are various accidents happening because of confusion about which intersections are four-way and two-way stops and who has the right of way and that type of thing. The signage was referenced about don't drive in the parking lane, but they didn't really talk about whether people are, you know, actually seeing that or not, or abiding by it. And I can tell you from, you know, anecdotal experience looking out the window, there are a high number of cars that use that as a second lane of traffic in either direction, especially when it's empty. Which brings me to my next point. The speed monitor for this study, of course, was placed in the parking lane because that's where it fits. And so it's no wonder that 92% of the cars caught going 35 miles an hour over were on the side, not where the monitor was, because as soon as you park something in that parking lane or have it be narrower, people slow down, not to mention the sign obviously encourages them to slow down. So these problems really happen when that parking lane is wide open, which it almost always is because it's not where anyone's driveway, typically on Washington Boulevard in this stretch, empties out to. So no one's parking on the street as a general day-to-day activity typically. So that 92% figure just made me question the whole, you know, speed measuring thing. Of course, it's going to be crazy in the direction that thing is not monitoring them. So I would encourage future traffic studies should use a, you know, not this big flashy sign that takes up a lane of traffic that tells you your speed, but instead be something, you know, that's monitoring speed and not obvious to those driving by what it's doing, so that the study numbers can be realistic. And then the final point I wanted to make is there's a note in there about, you know, unrestricted traffic flow between Keystone Avenue and Franklin Avenue, which is true. There's no stop signs between those two points. There is the railroad tracks. It narrows slightly. But typically, it's actually unrestricted. I would go so far as saying all the way to Des Plaines Avenue. The lights on Franklin only changes if there is traffic coming from the north or the south on Franklin. And so it is like a green light to flooring it when people leave that sign at Keystone. And that's when crazy decisions are made to pass in the right-hand parking lane, go all the way down to Lathrop. If they see that green light there, they keep going all the way until they get into Forest Park. And so it is a considerable stretch to the east of Keystone that can be unrestricted for people if those lights are timed right. And it really encourages people to have a high rate of speed because of that wide boulevard feel with no cars are parked there. So I am in full support of curb bump outs the same way they were done on Chicago Avenue for much of the way. I do not think all-way stops are necessarily the answer here to your earlier points, Mr. Rees. You know, but I do think there needs to be something to indicate that you are going through a residential neighborhood here and speed should be controlled. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Anyone else on Zoom that wants to address this issue? All right, let's open it up to the commissioners. Any questions or comments from members of the commission?
Commissioner Rees, this is Commissioner Chase, Chairman. At our last traffic and safety meeting, we discussed the Chicago Avenue bump outs and putting those bollards in. Bump outs do not deter people from going around the cars that are stopped at the stop sign. They just don't. And we brought this up at the last meeting that we were considering finding out more about those bollards to be put in strategic areas. Perhaps we could think about that as well.
That's a good comment. And you know, for the benefit of folks who might not have been at the last meeting, the bollards, if you don't know, are the usually plastic, but they could be made out of other things, this kind of the spike, the vertical piece that can be screwed into the road to try to prevent people from driving into a parkway, for example.
And pedestrians, since hill struts and bike riders can still get through, but the cars cannot. So,
right.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm sorry, this is Andy again. Just one other idea or one other thought was like speed humps or anything of like that, speed bumps to slow people down before that, because you know, these people are going so fast that, like, that it would really damage their vehicle if they took these things at the speeds that they're going, either, you know, in front of the stop sign or, you know, after the, it might even help with the issue that the gentleman was talking about from Keystone heading eastbound, you know, just to kind of slow down traffic a little bit there. So that's just an idea.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, and real quick, sorry, this is Ryan. What was, I didn't quite catch what you had mentioned in the previous, when you guys were looking at some previous data for bump outs.
Well,
did you say that it does not stop cars from passing, from using it, the lanes?
Just to clarify, that intersection of William and Chicago that we discussed at the last meeting where we're going to be putting those bollards during non-winter months, that intersection does not currently have bump outs. So there were similar concerns of people using the parking lanes as pass-through lanes and driving around, similar concerns regarding accidents, and that it was William and Chicago. It's a four-way stop as well. So the kind of interim initial step before we started looking at bump outs there due to the cost,
right,
the initial step was, well, let's put some – you know, bollards at the end of the parking lanes as a physical impediment to anyone trying to drive through and use those parking lanes as they pass through. So I think the bump outs are a physical barrier and they would deter vehicles from using that,
right,
that passing lane for certain. But the bollards were kind of an intermediate step to achieving that same goal.
Can I ask something about those bollards? I believe it was my understanding that those were run over within the first week or so.
We haven't put them in.
Okay. Because I'd read something about it, and then I had heard that they were laying in the ground. So
no.
Clearly I was misled.
Must have been something else. Yeah, those were discussed, approved, but it was agreed that we were going to put those in at spring so that we don't avoid
okay.
any kind of plowing.
That's good to know then.
Dave, let's stay with the commissioners for the moment. Dave, if you'd like to speak.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Jeff, have we ever used, I know that there are temporary bump outs that look a little bit like narrow speed bumps, but that can be kind of arranged in various ways, which I, you know, would probably accomplish a lot of what the bollards would accomplish, but might do it in a more robust way. Have we ever used those or thought about using them as an intermediate step between nothing and permanent bump ups?
We have not. I'd call what you're kind of referring to as like a delineator, a lane delineator, or something along those lines. You know, you could even theoretically get into some of those like plastic Jersey barriers, kind of, if you wanted to. There's certainly plenty of obstructions that you can use to kind of narrow that lane there, short of a full-fledged curb bump out. But no, we to answer your question, none of those things have been implemented. These bollards that we approved for William and Chicago at the last meeting are kind of the first foray that this group has taken in that regard.
Okay, thank you.
Another question, I'm sorry. Jeff, before we put in bump outs, do we check with the fire department and the police, more importantly, the police department, does this present problems for the fire trucks and so on? I mean, if we put one at every corner, that just seems to be overkill. Do we check with them to see what their thoughts?
Yeah, I would certainly talk to them about that.
Sorry. Thank you.
That's always part of the consideration anytime we do any sort of traffic change like that. It's, you know, they're more snug turns, obviously, but, you know, they kind of have, they would still have two lanes to work with, if you will, because everybody's pulling over. So as long as they have a, you know, bump out to bump out, the overall width is still going to be plenty sufficient. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Can we turn it over to Arun? Arun is on, showing up on Zoom as AJ's phone.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. And I live on 107 Keystone, so I'm going to say I'm a little biased on this, but I walk my dog every day and I cross the intersection of Keystone and Washington. And I have to tell you, I'm not making it up. I've gotten almost hit multiple times because they can't see the, or the dog's getting hit almost multiple times because they can't see the dog first. And then I come because there's a tree, as mentioned. Most people going through this intersection only do this kind of a rolling stop. And a lot of times, if they don't see traffic on Keystone, they just don't even do the rolling stop. They just pass through. And especially it's hard for those families living at that intersection because kids are running outside there and there's a ton of kids on that intersection area. And this is ongoing problem. I've lived here more than a decade and this is a constant problem here. And people, if Madison is packed, which happens during peak hour in the morning and the evening, they use this as a bypass. They come through Thatcher or they take First Avenue and then they blast through Washington. So I think a permanent solution is needed. So a permanent bump out might be needed because what that does is even though there are stop signs and sometimes police cars there, once those things are gone, the police cars are gone, people don't just stop. They completely ignore the stop signs. So I think it would be good to have a bump out because it'll force them to slow down and then go again. Because I've heard many neighbors shout, stop. And there's one neighbor who's right there, who lives right there at the intersection. I've heard him scream stop so many times. And people just don't even hear that. They're just blasting through, using it as a thoroughfare. So I would recommend, even though I do live on the street, some bias is there, but I do recommend a permanent bump out.
Thank you, Arun. Before we, let's see if we can get Rick and John, if they want to comment, but you know, Kim or anyone else who's on Zoom, let's get the Zoom folks done and then turn it over to other commissioners in the room.
So yeah, just one thing. I agree, I live a block and a half away as well. I agree with everything that's been said about the traffic there. You know, very similar to the discussion we had last time about driving in the parking lane on Chicago and William. One additional difference, I think, with this discussion is, and was brought up by the two speakers, was that having something at Thatcher and Washington to let drivers know that are driving east that, hey, you're coming into a neighborhood. Mm. I would really like to consider what that could be. This is one street where, I mean, I do it myself when I'm driving 40 down, coming home, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I'm at Thatcher, I'm in a neighborhood. And if there's a way, maybe that's a bump out of Thatcher, maybe that's something in addition to what we do at Keystone, but something that can signal that this is a neighborhood, I think would just help also reduce speed or at least have some people consider it.
Noticed that my old dog walker who lives there added a bunch of signs. Maybe we could see if we add one more sign.
Oh, yeah.
Rick or John?
Yeah, this is Rick. You know what? I'm in agreement with everything that was said today with all the residents. We know that there's a problem going east and west. You know, Washington's bad now. Madison was bad, and we got the bump outs down there, and that slowed down. Lake Street, years ago, we put those bump ins, and that slowed down. Chicago, we fixed a few years back, and even the spots we didn't fix are now a problem. So it's, I think we need to, as a group, as a commission, you know, come up with some sort of a solution and probably a temporary one. And now that Peter's here, we, you know, let's get a recommendation on what we think. You know, we talked about the ballards, but what are some of the other options? You know, Jeff mentioned, you know, we can put some of the orange cones in and other things. So I think we need to expand our toy box here for options because it's getting worse in the village. We just see it. You know, we don't need the traffic guys to tell us it's getting worse. We can see it from our windows, and you guys weren't able to see the iPad that I did with people just rolling through that stop sign, not even stopping. So that's one thing. You know, let's ask that Peter can start to come up with a recommendation probably for our next meeting of some ideas that we can discuss for the future. And then the second question I have is more for Jeff. When will we be redoing Washington Street? Repaving standpoint, And that's when we did Lake Street, was when it was getting repaved, Chicago. It's to do one bump out is extremely expensive. But if you're repaving the entire street, and Jeff likes to, you know, bundle it all up with new sewer lines and new water lines and all that other stuff to make it very efficient in the long term, and that's when we can put in the bump outs at that point. So that's another question that I'm sure Jeff doesn't have at his fingertips, but maybe by next meeting we can.
I do.
Oh, you do? Oh.
I do, only because we don't have anything planned for it right now. So there is nothing. I mean, we look at our annual street improvement project on an annual basis based on our annual street ratings. Washington, I know, is starting to get there. If I had to put like a range on it, this conversation aside, and just in terms of pavement condition, we're probably looking, I would say, roughly in the next 5 to 10 years sort of time frame. But that's also a big street, so that's something we would typically apply for STP funding through the West Central Municipal Conference, which means nothing to anyone other than the fact that we also have to get in line for that funding and ask for it along with a bunch of other area communities. So there are a lot of mitigating factors, but we don't have anything for at least the next few years planned down there. So if this is something that this group wants to address on a more short-term basis, we would have to delve into some sort of temporary solution or a standalone bump out, only because we don't have anything else planned right now.
Okay.
Jeff, a question related to your answer. I know that it was mentioned in the KLA study, and I see it in the neighborhood, that the crosswalks that were previously marked have not been remarked after the repavement's done on Keystone and Gale and Hawthorne. Are those going to be done in the near future? Because that also impacts this intersection.
Yeah. So that was just a byproduct of some departmental changes over the course of the last year. We've been playing a lot of catch up. So we have those areas all kind of earmarked, if you will. We just got to a point where it became too cold when we finally engaged with the contractor to do that work. So those things are already set aside, ready to go, and we're going to squeeze them in as soon as weather breaks in spring and they can come back out and do that. So those are very much on the radar.
I was looking at the report and thinking about the area. This is John Oscar, by the way. And we do at times think about an evolution at a roadway or a corner intersection, so forth and so on. And when I look at streets like Washington, Madison, Chicago Avenue, those are the arteries of town. They did mention that there was speeding going on, and obviously there's a lot of running red lights going on. A bump out is not going to prevent anybody from running a stop sign at that corner. We know that, but having two cars, one in the parking lane, one in the actual lane running
stop
sign is an issue. So I'm looking at this as if people are coming through town, we want them to get through town. Washington is an artery. It's a busy street. And I'm looking at the pictures and I'm thinking of Washington as that artery, as compared to what we just previously discussed, which was Ashland and Vine. It's a quarter, it's a intersection in a tiny little part of town that is not an artery. So this commission is traffic and safety, traffic. How do we get traffic to where it needs to go, to where it wants to go? And in this situation, I want traffic
to
go.
Shush.
I want traffic to move through easily and not get bunched up. I've heard everybody talk about this, you know, your opinions, and those are fine. But I've also, according to the report says there is some speeding happening. And again, we know the run and stop sign. But what I'm seeing in these pictures is, and I live a block from there. I live on the 300 block apart. So I'm there all the time. What I'm seeing on the pictures, and Ms. Hoyt brought this up a little bit, is the restriping of the intersection. Fantastic idea. I'm glad we're doing it. But also what I don't see is a delineated parking strip. This right lane is not a driving lane. It is a parking lane, kind of like we did on Chicago Avenue, where it's a line
and you know you park next to the curb, that is a parking lane, and then there's the driving lane next to it. So we don't have any delineated parking lanes. Per the report, blinking stop signs. They do a little bit, a little. We also have the speed, the radar speed limit signs, which we've put in various areas of the village, which, at least to me, those work pretty well. I see something telling me I'm going three, or it blinks. If you're going the speed limit, it doesn't blink. If you're going over the speed limit, it blinks, and it lets you know that you're speeding. So with kind of everything going through my wee brain at the same time, traffic flow, budgets, an evolution to the drastic, having the child, being the bump out rather than, maybe a little foreplay beforehand here. Sorry about that. There's a lot that we can do that we haven't done that can be witnessed, evidenced by neighbors in that area saying, well, that does work. We could continue to do speed studies, accident studies, so forth and so on. So what I'm thinking, as we get to this point, and again, we spend money with KLOA, they're right most of the time. We haven't really gone against them, and I've been here for a while. We don't blindly go with them. We have tried to change some things like we did today. It happens. But in this situation, I know they're speeding. I live over there. You live over there. But they're not going to not run that stop sign with a bump out, with a drastic intervention. But I do think, and by the way, I do love the idea of a bump out at Forest and Washington. I love the idea of a bump out there because of the park right there. But at Keystone in Washington and along that strip, let's say from the tracks to Thatcher going west and coming east, I would recommend what the report says, which is the radar and the blinking stop signs, a delineated parking zone, and see what happens. And perhaps if the bollards do a really good job on Chicago Avenue, maybe incorporate that into the Washington Avenue plan as well. Because I think that's going to be a positive for Chicago Avenue. That's another issue in town. Chicago Avenue over by William is that there's a lot of speeding, believe it or not. But Washington, as we all know, is a huge thoroughfare. And that's my two cents on Washington and Keystone, from what the report says, from what I've heard from the constituents, the residents, as well as kind of putting in there, crossing a cutout, maybe in the long-term plan, getting across Washington from the park there, I think is a great idea. Thank you.
Doug, I'd like to comment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, before you do, Arun, I don't know if it's you, Andy Whiting, if you could mute your phone. Anybody who's on Zoom who's not speaking, mute, please. Go ahead, Arun.
So the question here is about safety, and I think we already have a flashing speed sign further east on Washington. It's just past Washington Park. I don't know the exact intersection, but it's already there. And it's not about traffic flow, because I think traffic flow is going to be fine. It is an arterial street, and the traffic flow is going to be fine. And as previously mentioned, a bump out is not going to prevent traffic from not coming. The whole question here is, is it a safety issue because it's an important intersection? And will the bump out make people slow down and stop, which they're not now doing for a stop sign? And they're not doing for the speed sign, which is already there further up east. If the same thing is going to work further up or on Thatcher and something, I'm sure it's going to work at Keystone. So I don't think I agree when it said that a bump out will not slow down traffic. I think it will let people stop because there is a physical... Road. I think there's a physical, any kind of a physical block will make people stop their cars a little, which happens on Chicago.
Can you hear us?
Here again, I think we're on Zoom. We can hear Arun loud and clear, but it sounds like you guys in the room, sounds like Arun, people in the room are having trouble hearing you. Let's hold off for a second.
Okay.
Just another couple months of the pandemic and we're gonna have Zoom meetings down to a science.
I think we're all having Zoom fatigue, which is why the system's crashing.
I agree.
Yeah, hold on a minute. We're resetting on our end.
Going to ask, I guess, while we're waiting, Rick, maybe you can hear, because it sounds like you're on Zoom, but we didn't get a proper introduction to Peter, but can either you or somebody give us an introduction to Peter and Peter's role?
Yeah. Are you on, Peter? Yeah. Can you hear him? You're on mute, I think.
Well, Peter, you're muted for now.
Okay.
Well, we can, Peter, we can get you later after we get our technology issues squared away.
Yeah, Peter, what that, whoops.
Can they hear us now?
Sorry, Peter was at the last meeting. He's the new engineer for the village. Okay, we should be up now.
All right, so I'll quickly finish up. So I don't think we wanna keep on beating this up, but the truth is this is a safety issue and it's become a significantly high traffic volume intersection. So I think permanent solutions are important so that everybody knows they're coming into a neighborhood. I don't think the people who drive from east to west and west to east are people who use it every day for work or other reasons. So they know they're driving through a neighborhood. They know they're coming into a forest. It is just that nothing's preventing them from slowing down because there's nothing blocking them. It's not by a bump out will slow them down, but I don't think personally it's going to block traffic flow or anything like that because it is a main street. I don't think putting up a sign saying you're entering River Forest is going to make that because that's already there. Once you cross the bridge, there's a nice sign saying Village of River Forest. So if people are going to read that, if you make that sign big and put neon lights, it's not that they're going to slow down. So I think we just have to understand that this is a safety issue and do something physically, which is going to prevent, make people slow down and stop.
This is Doug. Based on, I won't repeat everything that everyone else has said, but I'd be in favor of the commission working with staff to implement a proposal and some actions for some maybe short-term, medium-term, and long-term approach to Washington Boulevard. You know, easiest short-term is to improve the stop sign at the corner of Washington and Keystone with a flashing stop sign of some sort. Also relatively short, but a little bit toward the medium is to implement striping with not only the crosswalks, but if we could, if it's appropriate, and I don't know if we need further discussion about striping the parking lanes, I would support that. And I would also support some kind of at least, and maybe this is also more short-term, medium-term, but experimenting with some form of temporary, lane delineator, bollard, whatever, to try to create a bump out situation before we can get actual bump outs into the budget. And, you know, for long term, I think if we can get in line and, you know, see if we can get the village behind the concept of having Washington follow generally what we did at these other through streets, in particular Chicago as a model, I think it would be appropriate to consider bump outs all along Washington, you know, not just limited, you know, beginning at Thatcher and all the way to at least Lathrop. I think John had mentioned it, and it was briefly mentioned in the KLOA study, the intersection at Forest, where there's a park really on both sides of Washington, and I would favor a flashing sign as exists on Lake Street north of Keystone Park, also at Forest. I believe that's also at Forest. So if we, you know, I would support a flashing sign on Forest south of the park that's similar to the flashing sign that we have at Forest north of Keystone Park. And so, you know, I don't know of all these things, if, you know, which, if any of them need a motion. I think putting a flashing stop sign probably doesn't. And I don't know, Jeff or Peter, you know, and I think, you know, maybe it was Rick, but people mentioned, you know, I don't know if there's support generally tonight to move forward with some of these proposals and if we need to formalize it, or if we, I don't want to just keep kicking the can down the road, but see if we might be able to reach agreement on some immediate actions and then for, you know, some of the more substantial issues moving forward, you know, what's the best approach, whether we need to, but it would be good, I think, to make a recommendation to the village board that we think that if we do agree that Washington should be put on the list for, you know, serious consideration of bump outs appropriately placed along that stretch.
Is putting bollards, Doug, considered a short-term solution, or is that it requires a lot of funding?
You know, I would defer to Jeff and Peter on that, but I would think that I put that more in the short to medium. I don't know if we want those screwed in all the way across, you know, whether it's bollards or I think Dave was mentioning, it sounds like Dave, you might've had in mind a different style of temporary bump out that's not quite the vertical bollard, but if there was some.
Yeah.
Dave, do you, I don't know if you have an image of something like that or if there's something you could share.
The thing that I think of is I found a picture of it online. But the things that I think of are when you are driving on Jackson in Oak Park now, right over Jackson and Harlem, when the street jogs there, and in the middle of that lane there are like round plastic things that look like they're probably full of sand, and they have little flags sticking up, and you know, they I think would do the trick. And you know, they're probably pretty functional, they don't look terrible, and they would synthesize what a bump out would do without having to pay for a bump out. So I think we could evaluate, if we did something like that, we could evaluate whether it was effective at solving the problem. Because I mean, it sounds like there are two problems. There's both the people using the parking lane as a driving lane, which we know is an issue on some of these streets. And then there's also the speeding issue. So I think by using a temporary bollard, a temporary bump out, we could figure out whether a permanent one would solve the problem or not.
You know, Jeff, would it be appropriate, you know, based on what you have heard during this meeting, for you guys to think about these and maybe we put this back on the agenda next session to maybe come back with a couple more concrete, you know, proposals, and maybe there's something we could do immediately, like, you know, the stop sign seems like a no-brainer, but maybe there's some other things we could, you know, without kicking this too far down the road, maybe at the next meeting we could have a little bit more concrete discussion about a few things that you guys think would be feasible. Jeff, you're muted if you're talking. I don't know if you're thinking or talking.
Can't hear you.
Rick, just mount the pass your iPad to.
How about now?
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Let's wrap this meeting up. Yeah, I don't think it's a problem for staff to come up with a few different solutions to meet that goal, temporary bump outs. I think we can come up with a few different things. We've talked about a few already tonight, but I think it makes sense to kind of present a menu, if you will, to you folks on the commission, so that if we enter into this conversation, like this is twice we've had this discussion in the last two meetings, if this is gonna be a common theme, let's be consistent with how we start to march these things out there. And I wanna make sure you all are on board with whatever we do end up doing. So yes, we can prepare some kind of temporary bump out options, if you will. Short of that, or in addition to that, I should say, what I'm getting is you guys are also seemingly in favor or potentially want to discuss changing the east-west stop signs to flashing stop signs, and have also discussed a flashing crosswalk sign at Forest and Washington. So we can bring the temporary bump out options to you all at the next meeting. Anything in addition to that, those other changes, I would just ask you to kind of formalize your recommendations so that when we present it to the board on Monday night, there's clear and concise direction from you all, if you will.
John, if you're speaking, we can't hear John.
You gotta talk through your laptop now, because for some reason the microphones don't work. No, don't worry about it. Just talking to Mike.
Oh, okay.
Doug, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm now River Forest.
You look great, John.
So in trying to get an idea so we can present it, or they can present it on Monday, what we talked about was the sign at Forest in Washington, the blinking sign. What we talked about was the blinking stop sign, both east and west, at Washington. I'd be inclined to also bring up the radar speed limit sign, which is east of Park Avenue. I don't know if those exist west of the tracks, between the tracks and Thatcher, which might be a good idea. But more importantly, in my mind, is delineating the parking lanes, and with the requisite sign that says no driving in the parking lanes, like we did on Chicago Avenue, and obviously the crosswalks, delineating the crosswalks next time they get around to painting. That's kind of what I have on my list for making a recommendation. So I'm here to listen to what, if anybody else has anything else, or if they don't want something that's on the list.
I think I'd like to hear Jeff's recommendation next time around, because I think the crosswalks and the painting and this all might help, but knowing the traffic and the type of what people are trying to do there is just get to work or get back to home. And so I don't think adding those signage is going to make them slow down. It's more they have to be, in my opinion, physically prevented from actually speeding across that stop sign. So in my opinion, I think we need some kind of a semi-permanent or permanent solution which will prevent that.
I haven't heard any objection to getting those recommendations from staff, and haven't heard any objection to at least being in favor of developing, you know, some medium but also long-term solutions so that we can address that stretch, you know, in a coherent, comprehensive way. I guess I think we've covered this topic for now. But, you know, I don't want to, are we good to move on?
Do we need to make a recommendation?
Did you guys hear me?
I say everybody.
Here.
No.
We can share.
So can you guys meet now?
Hold on, I can mute you. Sorry. So what we've got is holy cow. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. There you go. That should work.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We're getting a double, I think, phone and computer feedback. I think next time we're either going to go all live or all Zoom.
Then I'm going to quit. Mute your mic.
Okay, now we don't hear anything from in that room.
All right, now can you guys hear me?
Perfect.
Yes.
I'm just gonna stand here because I don't know what else to do. So what I have basically at this point is, yes, we could do the striping. That's already essentially planned for the crosswalks. We can do the parking lane delineators, not a problem, for striping, that is. Those are simple tasks. The flashing stop signs, if we want that, I would ask for a formal motion and a vote on that. Same with, John had mentioned the radar feedback sign in this area. I'd want a motion on that as well. And then if you guys want to do a crossing at the flashing crosswalk at Forest and Keystone, those are the three things I would ask you to make a motion vote on, because they are more cost intensive. And I mean, between those three things, we're pushing $15,000. So not that that should be a deterrent, but that's, you know, it's not nothing. So I definitely, if we're going to march this to the board, I definitely want to make sure that the commission has kind of fully vetted and voted on those three items, if that's what you want to do at this time.
And you know, I'm glad to have anybody else speak up, at least for me personally, of those three. If we had to prioritize, I would prioritize the flashing stop sign and probably the crosswalk at Forest over the radar.
Yeah, I would agree, because we already have plenty of anecdotal evidence that people are speeding, and we know it's something we have to do something about. But I would agree with Doug.
I'm sorry, you were going to prioritize flashing stop signs and the what was the other one?
The flashing crosswalk at Forest.
Okay.
I would agree putting those in order, if that helps. Just as you described, first the stop sign, second the flashing at Forest, and third the radar.
Yeah,
and then
the radar just somewhere in the vicinity of Washington, of Keystone on Washington in east-west direction. We have a priority eastbound versus westbound.
Right. I mean, if there's sort of a financial triage here, I think it sounds like, again, subject to anybody objecting, If there's agreement that the priorities would be in order, a flashing stop sign, then a flashing crosswalk at Forest, and then last, if there's money available, I don't know that there's the same consensus that we need a flashing radar sign. And so, you know, we could take these just one at a time to be done with it, you know, and rather than try to package them as one vote. Why don't we just do that for efficiency's sake, and see if there's a motion to install flashing stop signs for east-west traffic at Keystone and Thatcher. Is there a motion for that?
Motion.
Okay, second.
Second.
All right. Can we vote on that, Jeff?
Sure, go ahead. Just say it real loud because they can hear it.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner J. Rahman?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yes.
Commissioner Asco?
Yes.
All right, that carries. How about, does anyone want to make a motion for a flashing crosswalk sign at Forest in Washington?
I'll make a motion.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Reeves?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
Did we have a second? I lost everything. I have no idea. Did we have a second?
Yes.
Yeah, I seconded it.
Yeah, so Pat, we're voting on whether we want your crosswalk. A flashing crosswalk sign at Forest.
But do we know what this is going to cost us yet? I mean, I don't have enough information to make an educated decision.
The village could say no.
Crosswalks are closer to $5,000 to $7,000 a piece, I believe.
I'm sorry, I didn't get any of that. We have a very bad internet connection. Sorry.
$5,000 to $7,000 a piece for flashing crosswalk signs.
Okay, fine. I don't think there's any way we're ever going to stop people from running stop signs. Is that the case?
No, I mean, this Pat is different. This isn't the stop sign. This is really where people cross, where the park at Forest and Keystone, there's the tennis court south and there's the park north of Keystone. And so the idea is to have a flashing crosswalk similar to what's at Forest north of Keystone Park.
All right, yes, fine. I just.
Yes, go ahead, keep calling.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner J. Rahman?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yes.
Commissioner Asco?
Yes.
Does anyone like to make a motion with respect to installing a radar speed sign at an appropriate location on Washington?
I'll make a motion to install a radar speed sign to be determined if it's going to be east or west on Washington Avenue.
Can someone repeat that motion? It's hard for us to hear, I think.
A motion to install a radar feedback sign at a location to be determined and in an eastbound or westbound direction to also be determined by staff on Washington near the intersection of Keystone.
Is there a second?
I don't second that, but we need to figure out. I'm thinking eastbound is probably more relevant due to the videos and the studies seen with the cars blowing past the stop sign at Keystone and Washington.
Hey, John.
We're getting nothing.
John, let me interrupt. What I heard John say is that he seconded the motion. And what I hear John saying is he favors, if it were to be installed, to illuminate for eastbound traffic.
Are we going to do all three of these things, or are we just going to do one of these things? That's where I'm confused, I guess.
We're voting for them one at a time. And so far, we've approved the first two, and this is whether we also are going to approve the third.
So we will wind up doing all three things eventually. Is that the point? I'm confused.
Well, the village board will ultimately have to approve them. You know, so staff will march a recommendation to them on Monday night that all three were approved, with the caveat that if funding is a concern, that these are the prioritized order that they've kind of elected. So, Rick, were you going to go ahead and amend your motion?
Quick question, Jeff, if you don't mind. Is all these three going to cost in the same lines of any kind of physical barriers, or those are way more expensive than these? Just out of curiosity.
Like as compared to a bump out?
Yes.
No, that would be much more expensive.
All right, perfect.
So, I'm sorry, Jeff, if I could ask you a question. I mean, we're part of the plan is still, though, to develop a plan to put in temporary bump outs or some sort of something, right?
Yeah, okay. So we just don't need a vote from you on that. We'll have that discussion at the next meeting.
I do think that there's a strong argument to not doing all three of these things at once plus
exactly
that.
Yeah, because exactly,
we need some sort of control to figure out what's working and what's not,
right?
So, you know, I'll wait for the vote, but you should
that was my point. It's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree too. That's way too much. If I feel like the village would feel offended if we spent that much money on three different things and then ask for physical blocks also.
Yeah. No.
They'd be like, why does one street get so much put in? Like, maybe we stop with two and then not do the third one.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that I'm generally in favor of that approach. And favor the first two. I'm going to plan to vote no on the radar, but not to say that we wouldn't install it later. But I think we ought to vote on whether we want to recommend it now, or we can, you know, come back to it later. Right now, there's a motion. The motion was seconded. You know, so we should vote on it. And you can. My view is, if you vote no, it doesn't mean we're foreclosed from coming back later and you know, good, adding it later if we think it'd be appropriate.
Thank you.
But we can have further discussion, but are we ready to vote on the radar?
Yep.
I think so.
All right. Rick's gonna amend
his motion to clarify the direction.
Yes, I was gonna amend it for Keith, similar to what we have up in Chicago, where they
John, are you okay with that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Peter, go ahead, take vote.
Chairman Reeves?
No.
Commissioner Chase?
No.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner J. Rahman?
No.
Commissioner Carroll?
No.
Commissioner Oscar?
Yes.
Okay, so just so we're all on the same page, those three recommendations or lack thereof will go to the board on Monday night. Staff will also bring back to this group at the next meeting temporary bump out type options.
Jeff, did the radar carry or not carry?
No, there was four no's.
Not.
Right, so there's only the first two proposals are going to the board, yes?
In 30 years or however many years I've been on, I think that's our biggest split vote. We're usually very unanimous. Okay.
It's three in total with the one from the previous conversation.
We're pushing 9:25 p.m. If I may ask if Vito Ippolito is hanging in there, is he here?
So just to be clear, though, you were kind of wrapped up with that other item.
I thought so.
Okay, fair enough. So just so you guys know, do you have any questions about how we're going to proceed with that? We have a couple of people still in the room, so I just want to make sure they're clear.
Okay, thanks.
If you want to have a brief discussion, sure. Frankly, I don't know if the mics are working or not at this point. But
again, thank you guys for this, and I would even
Doug, I have to jump off for 20 minutes. Hopefully you'll be done by then.
We can work on getting something permanent there. And with that said, is there at all a thought of the timeline of what the medium versus long-term and things like that are? Like, would we, if things keep moving forward, would we expect to have some sort of temporary obstructions in the parking lane?
So if we come back and discuss this at the next meeting regularly scheduled meeting would be March, the third Wednesday in March. So if we come back to the table, discuss that, if this group votes and approves some sort of temporary delineator or something along those lines, that goes to the next board meeting as well. If the board says yes to it, then the only issue we would try to avoid at that point is snow operations. So if the board approved it, we would try to line that up so as soon as we're past the weather, we could implement it. Okay.
And again, it's an evolution. So if you guys, if something's not working, or you know, the site a little bit, try to temporarily get a little bit still really, really bad, and we have proof, and we're going to bring our 52 signatures or 100 signatures that we get, then you bring it back. So, you know, as neighbors, you're going to witness firsthand the evolution of what we're doing over there. So this is meeting one. Meeting two then happens with the temporary solution, the semi-permanent solution, and then we'll see what happens from there. Okay. Bureaucracy. Yeah. Think about that.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Toledo.
Yes, 10 second summary of that.
Pat, if you're talking, you're muted. Doug, could you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, Jeff, can you just give us a very short summary of what was just said? We couldn't hear that. We don't need it all.
Yeah, sorry. So the residents we were talking about timelines. So, you know, potentially if we come back at the next March meeting and this group agrees with some sort of temporary bump out, if the board shortly thereafter approves it too, we would be looking at implementing that kind of early 2022 here as soon as the weather breaks, because similar to Washington or William in Chicago, we're not looking to put anything on the pavement during snow operations. So right. That would be our only hang up at that point. That was about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Do we have Vito Ippolito here?
We do. Can you hear him?
No.
Here's what we're going to do. Nothing wants to work.
And I guess my question is, Jeff, do you know if we would support just doing a study at Keystone like they did at Ashland?
Keystone at Ashland.
I'm sorry. Let's just go ahead. Is Mr. Ippolito here?
Yeah, if we need to get into another study, we certainly can. But if, you know, I think we could do the temporary bump outs and the study at the same time, potentially too, to see if they're warranted on a permanent basis.
I'm switching to Keystone and Linden.
Linden.
Oh, I'm sorry. So this is the item that we discussed. The resident had requested that this be, you know, brought on the agenda. But hadn't met the commission's criteria, the 75%. So we have not done any data collection or study as of yet.
And is Mr. Ippolito in the room?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
So Mr. Ippolito, I understand that you're looking to ask for an assessment of that intersection. By the way, thank you for your patience and hanging around so long.
No worries. I actually appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to present today. So thank you. I know it's late, so I'll keep this relatively brief. I think everybody did receive the documentation that I put together. Yeah, so I'll cut to the chase. My office oversees Keystone Avenue, and anecdotally, I had observed that there's a fair number of vehicles traveling down Keystone at very, very high speeds. It's a lot of children on Keystone Avenue, as kind of pointed out earlier. So I began asking some of my neighbors if they observed the same thing. And during one of the most recent block parties, they all fundamentally agreed. All is a big word, but everybody I spoke to agreed. So I then contacted Peter and Jeff. They were gracious enough to give me this opportunity. It is my fault that I didn't get the enough signatures, largely because I misread the what was required. But those people that I did ask, they did sign. In any case, what I had done, and you could see in the chart there, is I did a what I would describe as a subjective review of the traffic. Understanding that's not a scientific approach, but I was trying to be incredibly fair in terms of the speed of traffic, what I observed to be cars speeding or not. And you can see there on the chart where it ranged from anywhere between 14 and 18% of the vehicles speeding. I assessed that it was approximately 500 vehicles traveling down Keystone every day. If I took an average of 15%, that's 75 cars that are speeding. And oftentimes they're speeding at very, very high rates. So I don't know what the solutions are. I know that there are some pushback against stop signs. I'm not saying stop signs is the right answer. What I am saying is that there's a problem. I'm in the software industry, in the security industry. The way we describe it in our field is that the spectrum between security and availability are at opposite spectrums. And in this case, the availability is the access to driving and the safety of the residents. And I guess from my perspective, I'd like to advocate and fault on the side of safety and have this area reviewed and trust that you all, the experts, would make the correct recommendation. So that's kind of the summary of my pitch, so to speak.
So a question I have for the commission, and by the way, Vito, thank you very much for your work. You know, you spent a lot of time, providing thoughtful and thorough information. The question I have for the commission is, does this merit, do we want to, I don't know if people are, does it merit asking KLOA to look at this intersection like they did with Ashland and Vine, maybe with a suggestion that they think about their strategy for how they measure speed, because they came in for some probably legitimate criticism tonight for how they collect that information, and find out if there's a more surreptitious and or consistent way for them to collect the speed data. But is there support for let me make my recommendation that we either support tonight just going ahead and asking KLOA to look at that intersection to see if it warrants a stop sign or something else. And just given the lateness of the hour, if we think we want to have a fuller discussion about other alternatives in lieu of a stop sign, we have that discussion at a meeting, either without the benefit of the KLOA study. So I guess my first question to the commission is, do we think there'd be value in having a KLOA study, or do we think it's not needed?
Doug, I don't know if anybody can hear me, but this is John Oscar. I don't think we need KLOA involved in this. This is another example of a two-block run in River Forest that doesn't have a stop sign on it. And what's happening, what we're seeing in River Forest, as all the commissioners know, is that two blocks is seemingly too much of a run for residents to be able to deal with. They want cars stopping at their corner. They want cars stopping at every corner. And we've you know, we're getting to the point in River Forest where we almost have every corner. Two block runs are becoming few and far between. So just to your point, though, with Callaway, I don't think we need them involved in this. This could be a discussion at the next meeting and how we can slow traffic down or perhaps even put another stop sign in the village, which I'm kind of against in that area, at least. But I don't think we need KLOA involved because we already know what they're going to say and what the numbers are going to read.
The only thing I would say is that I think it would be difficult to make a recommendation without knowing that you had more people in the area supporting a recommendation. So that would be the only thing that I would say. Like I think it would be fine to get a study done without all the signatures. But in the spirit of the way, sorry, go ahead. But in the spirit of the way the committee has acted thus far, I think that deferring to the overwhelming view of the people that live in the vicinity is a safe bet. So as long as we know that the overwhelming view of the people that live in the vicinity is X, I think we can recommend X. But I don't know that we know that at this point.
That's correct. And what has changed in the last 15 years is a lot of residents of River Forest did not want stop signs. And the evolution in River Forest, well, one of the many evolutions of River Forest, has been that there have been a lot more requests for stop signs. So I 100% agree with Commissioner Caro that more input from the residents would be good, not in addition to, but aside of another expense with KLOA.
If I may, I think we have to, I couldn't agree with both of you more. I think we have to follow the protocol. We need to have more input from the residents in that particular area. I agree. Thank you.
Would any other commissioner wish to speak on this? Vito, I'm pulling up your petition, but can you just tell me, was it for a stop sign or was it for something else?
It was merely to have it reviewed by the village. I don't know what the correct answer is. I would disagree that I'm looking for a stop sign. What I'm really looking for is for traffic to be safe in a neighborhood that's predominantly children. And if the recommendation from the board is for me to go and get the rest of the residents' signature, I will do that. But I don't think it's going to be surprising to see that those that I spoke to, without exception, I had residents tell me, I go up on the street curb and yell at vehicles as they're driving by to slow down. But I will do that, and that's fine. To follow the protocol, I understand that. Again, it was my misreading of the documentation. It's my
part of the reason for the signatures is we just want to make sure there's, you know, consensus here, where the request is simply to study the intersection I'm not so sure that we need, you know, to make you go back and get signatures simply for that. The question in my mind is whether we think we would benefit and you would benefit if we had, you know, KLOA look at, consider alternatives for that intersection that could include a stop sign, but also could include other ideas for potentially slowing traffic. And, you know, one of the questions I was raising with the commission is whether we think, you know, kind of the way the discussion went tonight, you know, I predict that the study would show that the speed and volume numbers are probably would not necessarily support a stop sign. Let's assume that's the case. And we've seen tonight that if there's overwhelming support for it anyway, you know, that might pass. But, you know, the other option would be, you know, the other reason maybe we would send you back to the neighbors, it would be if there's any consensus from the neighbors about an alternative. You know, I live right around there too, and I'm very familiar with that intersection. You know, I'll confess that I feel like I pick up speed more south of Washington in Arun's neck of the woods than on your street, but that's just me, you know, but, you know, so what I've been struggling with too is, you know, short of a stop sign, is there another better approach to try to, you know, and this is a problem we have throughout the village, right? I mean, people don't want speeding down their streets. And, you know, this is a struggle that we have. And, you know, we've been using these radar signs to try to, you know, let people know that their speed, given that we have, you know, that street ends at the tracks and then there's a four-way stop at Washington that we've been talking about, I'm not sure that a radar is necessarily, you know, supported there either. But I would be willing, at least me, to, if you don't mind, if we were to table this and try to come back next time to see if we might have, you know, some more concrete suggestions about how we might address speed, which may or may not include a stop sign there. And I guess I'll go back, you know, it sounds like there's some, you know, I guess I'd say I personally don't need you to go back and get signatures just to get a study. I think we could just decide right now from the commission whether we want a study. The only reason I'd have you go back to the neighbors would be not to ask about a study, but to see if there's some other consensus from the neighbors about either a stop sign or some other alternative.
You know, I do think of this as a problem, that it's a collaboration between what you all do and the residents. So any way I can help, you know, I don't do this for a living. I got a full-time job, right? So forgive me again, I did not get the correct number of signatures. I was assuming that I needed 5 residents on each side of Linden. So that's the reason that it was limited. But if you think that would be helpful, I'll do my part. I certainly just want this to be taken a closer look at it. That's all.
Do any other commissioners want to address this?
I agree with Doug. I think that we don't need a KOLE study at the moment, but I would like to know what the neighbors have suggestions as well. I mean, perhaps they'll come up with something that would work. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess, Vito, what I would suggest is that if you think that there's a consensus for a stop sign, we'd probably want to see a petition that shows 75% support for a stop sign. You know, at least I'd be willing to come back to this next meeting, and if you wanted to canvass neighbors about some other alternatives, and if we can obviously help and collaborate on ideas. But we also like to be, you know, responsive to what the neighbors want. And so, you know, the only reason to send you back to the drawing board is not to make you go back to get signatures for a study, but to find out if, you know, I guess I'd be willing to have put this on the agenda next time to just, as we've thought about it more, to see if we can discuss if there are some other appropriate steps that we could make to calm traffic at that intersection, including a stop sign. But I'm sorry, I sort of assume that the study is going to say what we know it's going to say, and I'm now wondering if that's going to make any difference in our assessment.
I mean, what would be great is if KOLA could come back. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. Why don't we discuss speed measures on Keystone at the next meeting? You know, we'll get some ideas from the village, some ideas from Mr. Gillis, who has a a lot of resources in his little computer here. And what we can then do is come up with an idea that we can recommend and then bring it back to Mr. Ippolito about what we've come up with. And then he can potentially go get the signatures, because maybe his neighbors are gonna say that's not appropriate or it is appropriate. I just don't know if we need to bother the residents right now, since we have some signatures saying limit as many cars speeding down Keystone, which is ambiguous as it can be, because it's not asking for anything except a review of what we can do. So maybe that's what we do, and maybe Jeff can chime in here and let us know what we can do as well.
The only other thing I would add to that is, if we just want to have a conversation that includes all the neighbors, if we want to put this on the agenda for that March meeting, we would then notify all the neighbors, which we hadn't done for this meeting, obviously. And then at least everybody who has some level of interest can participate, whether in person or remote. And then that conversation can all take place at the same meeting, instead of us discussing something in March, then having Mr. Ippolito go back out. Now we're talking about May before we have a full-fledged conversation. If this commission is willing to forego the study, and it sounds like you are, that's fine. But in that case, then staff would just plan on notifying all the neighbors around this area. And then we would place the item back on the agenda for March for discussion.
I don't know how much these studies cost, but I actually like these studies because they at least give us some data points about volume and speed, assuming that we think they're collecting the speed correctly. Because it is a little bit hard to make a call, without having that data, So, while we kind of dumped on the KLOA studies tonight, I think that having some study, and I appreciate the data that Vito collected, but, for example, I know, observing speeding, I have no doubt about that's true. But one advantage of the KLOA study is you get a sense of the average if it's properly collected, and you get a sense of how much people are exceeding the speed limit. I'm assuming the traffic volumes, I know a lot of people use Keystone because there's a four-way stop at Washington. So people use Keystone, but I could be surprised about the volume and the speed. So I am actually think that if we're going to put this on the agenda, I would probably myself, maybe I'm coming around to both inviting the neighbors, but also having a study so we have the benefit of, the insight, so we can at least have the data points as to what the volume and speeds are there.
Okay, so in the meantime, we will have the study initiated with KLOA. We'll put this on the agenda for the next meeting. We will notify the area residents of that next meeting. And then, just to be clear for Mr. Ippolito, are you requesting more signatures by that next meeting or in advance of that next meeting? Or are we good as long as staff gets the KLOA memo and we notify the residents?
Personally, I think we're good.
Okay. I agree.
But we need to kill 10 more minutes so we can get to 2.5 hours.
We don't. Trust me, we don't. You're not going to get anything extra for that, Doug.
My very first meeting that I was a part of, I thought they always went like that.
They're usually 4 hours.
The commission?
I mean, this meeting.
Well, I will say, in all seriousness, next one is March. Let's hope that we're on the other side of this Omicron variant. And I do think we ought to seriously consider, if health is still a concern, I would rather be all remote, or, and if health's not, if we can do it safely, I would rather be all in person. I just don't think this half and half hybrid is effective.
Fair enough.
Green,
I'll be my seat right here. Not gonna leave.
So I guess let's make a game time decision, and see how things are in March, and then we can confer about I don't know if others have a view, but at least personally, I would rather be all one way or the other.
I agree.
And if you do elect to be in person, we set up the room different for the last board meeting where we kind of spaced things out a little bit more and then restricted the number of residents that could come in person. So that's your only downfall, is that we then kind of limit capacity while we're notifying entire, you know, portions of the town. So keep that in mind. But yeah, we can absolutely check in, you know, 2-3 weeks in advance and see where things are at with COVID and get a temperature for how comfortable you all are with in person. We'll do.
Great. All right. Well, listen, I'd like to thank everyone for your patience and courtesy and the long meeting. A lot of things to talk about, but appreciate everyone's input. I think we can take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Already got one. Do we have a second?
Second.
Everybody. Okay.
All right. Consensus.
You adjourned. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, everyone.
Good night. Well.